The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 17th through Sunday, June 23rd, 2024. The commentary for June was written by Philip M. Baer, who has a passion for serving the unhoused, incarcerated, addicted, and missions in Haiti. Phil's is a retired business person, author, and avid gardener who lives in Tallahassee, Florida, with Jeannie, his wife of 52 years, and retired archdeacon of the Diocese of Florida. They have two children and two grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, June 17th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Psalm, chapter 80, verse 5. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them bowls of tears to drink. Here's the commentary. We call ourselves the Spiritual Journeys Group because we have traveled together through book upon book by renowned spiritual writers. Through the years, group members have become soul friends. In our intimate space, we share our sacred stories, pour ourselves out, and cry and rejoice. My soul has been indelibly etched with the group's wisdom. In 5 years, we have lost five members to death. Underlines in books address but never really prepare us for the tangible sorrow of pain and loss. God has given us tears to drink in full measure. Together we learn that death and sorrow have much to teach about life. The more we accept our impermanence, the more we can embrace our remaining life. In the last season of my life, my death isn't lurking over my shoulder. Rather, God has blessed me to be given over to mystery, grace, playfulness, forgiving of myself and others, and cherishing those I love. And now I'm going to read from the full passage here of Psalm 80. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 17th, is, are you fearful of death, or do you accept your impermanence? How then shall you live your life? The commentary for Tuesday, June 18th, begins with a passage from the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I was pitching when the second baseman committed two errors in a row. I glared at him and yelled unkind words. Coach O'Donnell stormed the mound. You never, ever disrespect one of your teammates. You're benched. Post-game, Coach made me apologize to the player and my teammates. Years later, I call Coach to thank him for caring enough to speak his truth. His truth made an immediate and lasting impact on me to treat all people with dignity and respect. Paul loved God and humanity, speaking God's truth. He was unashamed to proclaim that through Jesus, God's mercy is for all humankind. In Romans, Paul speaks his truth that people have exchanged God's glory for their idols of choice, wealth, power, and impurity. They were serving the creature rather than the Creator. Do I err by serving my idols? Admittedly, yes. That's when I hear Paul's truth that God's mercy is for all of us, including me, the one who commits the errors. And now I'm going to read this full passage of Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who, by their wickedness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things He has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how can you speak and hear the truth? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, June 19th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 5 and 7. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Outside my first grade Sunday school classroom, there was a commotion. We all rushed out to see a black girl with her two younger brothers surrounded by a group of white children. A pastor looked down at them. You can't come in here. The girl's sad eyes made me want to cry. The three children backed away and left. In our classroom, my eyes became fixed on the stained glass window depicting white children at Jesus' feet. I wondered, can't black children be with Jesus too? That experience, 7 decades ago, was my inauguration into the sight, sound, and ugliness of injustice. 3 children sought to be at Jesus' feet, but were blocked by human hypocrisy and segregation. How I wish 6-year-old me had run after them and brought them back. God bids us daily to live so that we are not obstacles to justice, whether it is for a child or someone fragile. God wants us to act so we don't have to live in regret of not running down the street to bring others to Jesus' feet. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this Wednesday from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have 2 hands or 2 feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire." And the moving forward question for today, how do you stand up against injustice? The commentary for Thursday, June 20th, begins also with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. This is verse 14. "So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." In this passage, those who are least important in this world are most important in heaven. In Jesus' eyes, little ones are not just children, but any lost, marginalized person of whatever age. Jesus' continuing ministry to little ones is personified in the disciples and us today. 4-year-old Gordon always wore long sleeves and pants whenever we met. I had seen photos of the menacing bruises inflicted by his mother. My role on the child abuse therapy team was to be a compassionate healer to son and mother. Gordon defended his mother, for the pain of losing her was greater than the pain she wreaked on his body and mind. She was an abuser who had been abused. In her presence, I had to swallow bile and anger because, like Gordon, she too was wounded. She too was a little one. Jesus met us in the therapy sessions, trudging through the trauma, pain, and tears. Each of us, according to God's will and time, was being transformed. And now the full gospel from Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 20. "Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And the moving forward question for this day, who are the little ones in your life? The commentary for Friday, June 21st continues with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 22. Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. Here's the commentary. At age 10, I had a daily paper route. On Saturdays, I knocked on customers' doors for payment. After paying the newspaper company, the remaining collections were mine. But customers moved without paying. Worse were the customers who ignored my knocks, even though I could hear their voices. Some weeks I earned just pennies. My last collection was Elliot's Bakery, where the cashier always paid me. Best yet, she would hand me a dozen warm donut holes. Walking home, munching on donut holes, I'd be angry at those who hadn't paid. Should I punish them by leaving their paper in the rain, or keep delivering while their debt and my loss and anger increased? On my route, with each paper thrown, the carrier bag around my shoulder got lighter. It can be so with unforgiveness. When we release the anger and resentments we have been carrying for some years, our burden gradually diminishes, even if it takes not seven, but 77 times to forgive. Emptying ourselves of unforgiveness creates a space within for freedom, wholeness, and joy. And now the full gospel from Matthew chapter 18. This is verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And the moving forward question for this Friday, June 21st, is, what resentments are you carrying? The commentary for Saturday, June 22nd, begins with a passage from Psalm 136, verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 136 begins and ends with thanksgiving for God's goodness and steadfast love. In between, we hear Israel's salvation history, praising God, the omnipotent ruler, creator, deliverer, leader in the wilderness, and provider of the promised land. The refrain, "For his mercy endures forever," is sung 26 times. God has assured us that his extravagant mercy has and will endure throughout the ages, manifested in the person of Jesus. Now at 77 years, I gratefully recount my salvation history. Exodus in my youth from a violent, gang-riddled neighborhood, for his mercy endures forever. Wandering in my wilderness periods of life with God's transcendent cloud and pillar of light with me by day and night, for his mercy endures forever. For God repeatedly healing my brokenness of heart and soul to be made whole, yielding the manna of new life, for his mercy endures forever. For the promise of what is to come in this life and beyond, I give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. And now I'm going to read more from Psalm 136, beginning with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who struck Egypt through their firstborn, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, today, recount your salvation history. And as we near the end of the week and the end of our program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, June 23rd, the fifth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 40. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? I was lost on a remote mountainside. Having left my wife and backpack at a resting place, I wandered off the trail seeking a panoramic view. After a long while, darkness was encroaching, and temperatures would soon plummet below freezing. I suddenly felt vulnerable and ran in all directions, shouting. Exhausted, I sat down and prayed to Jesus, who in my mind was slumbering, unconcerned about my plight. In the stillness, I heard the voice of an angel, my wife, calling me in the distance. When we reunited, she embraced me, followed by a well-deserved scolding. I prayed daily. So in my fear, why didn't I immediately rouse Jesus? Bottom line, great fear, little trust. I had to be desperate before I could surrender my self-reliance and begin trusting Jesus. Jesus was there, awake amid my storm, but I did not see or listen until, sitting on a log, I relinquished myself. Storms and fear are inevitable, but we can be confident that Jesus weathers them with us, bringing calm and strengthening our faith. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the moving forward question for this Sunday, June 23rd, what storms in your life has Jesus weathered with you? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts longing for the healing of our world. And knowing that you are hearing us better than we're speaking, we offer this prayer in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me again for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.